Well, I also have a list of lists today. Mine are for hymns for people over 50. If it applies, give me that old timers religion. Precious Lord, take my hand and help me up. Just a slower walk with thee. Go tell it on the mountain, but speak up. Nobody knows the trouble I have seen. My brother, I could have said, nobody knows the trouble I have hearing. Guide me, O thou great Lord God. I've forgotten where I parked the car. Count your many birthdays. Count them one by one. Blessed insurance. It is well with my soul, but my knees hurt. And mine does. Next Sunday, Jim's brother Rick is going to be here. And he's a retired military general. And he's going to be speaking about leadership and faith. So if you've never had an opportunity to meet a three-star general, and I didn't until the memorial service for Jim and Rick's dad, very good speaker, very interesting. So would encourage you to come and hear Rick. George MacDonald said in a book called The Consuming Fire, let a man think and care ever so little about God. God is here with him, upholding, warming, delighting, and teaching him, making life a good thing to him. God gives himself, though a man knows it not. And I thought, man, how can God be there with us and we don't even know it? It's been a few years since I was talking to someone about a situation they were going through, and what the situation they were going through was the second time they had been through that. It was an issue of infidelity. And it hurt desperately for that person that was going through it. Yet it didn't hurt so bad when they did the same thing many years before that. It's a totally different thing when the shoes are on your feet. And so you try to talk to someone, you try to explain it to them, you try to reason with them, and let them know that people make choices. Trying to let them see what they had done years before, and try to realize what had occurred. When things happen to us and we're surrounded by our friends and our family and oftentimes our church family, and we see things happen in our lives, whether it be the loss of a loved one, and I mentioned a couple that we, friends of ours, that have lost husbands and fathers and dads this week. And yet you feel so alone even though God is there. People go through financial crisis and the stock market falls and they lose thousands, millions, hundreds of thousands of dollars. And they wonder, why'd that happen? Where's God at? People, you know, face a job loss. I know when you face retirement, God will still be there. I just read this week about two top sports figures that made millions of dollars. Mike Tyson earned over $400 million as a boxer. I can't hardly imagine $400 million. However, the article said that he spent most of it fritting it away on extravagancies like mansions, luxury cars, and tigers. $8,000, I believe it was a week, to feed a tiger. That's more than I intend on spending to feed the dog for her whole lifetime. He also owed $9 million in his divorce settlement and $13 million to the IRS. When he filed for bankruptcy in 2003, he claimed debts of $27 million. Now, I'm not a fan of bankruptcy, but hey, I might have done the same thing. Kenny Anderson, not the Kenny Anderson that played for the Bengals, but a Kenny Anderson that played professional basketball, rang up nearly $41,000 in monthly expenses, including child support to 8 children. I wonder how many of them sent him a Father's Day card. When you really stop and think about it, it's amazing. Including his mother's house payment. The former NBA guard filed for bankruptcy in 2005. His estimated $60 million had dwindled to nothing. But dwindled to nothing because he kept 8 cars in his 5-bedroom mansion or 5-bedroom home in Beverly Hills. He gave himself a monthly allowance of $10,000. And it says he regularly handed out $3,000 to $5,000 to friends and relatives. I was neither. Finally, he lost $5.8 million in a prenuptial agreement. There was a wise woman. Now, these are self-imposed, you know, and these are things that people do on their own. So it's much different when things come to us that we're not planning on. Things come to us that we do not bring on, that we do not even anticipate. And when things come to us that we don't anticipate, we feel like God's AWOL. He's absent without love. Maybe absent without leave. He's left us. But absent without love. We feel we're alone and we're trying to figure out where he's at because I didn't do anything to deserve this. Two of the verses that Greg read earlier, Jeremiah, say, I am a God who is at hand and not a God far away. Can anyone hide himself in secret places so that I cannot see him, says the Lord. There is absolutely nowhere we can go that God cannot see us. And there is absolutely nowhere we can go when God's presence isn't sitting right next to us. Now, it may seem odd, but God squeezed in between Tom and Wanda sitting there because that's the way he is. He's everywhere. He's every present. He makes it clear that he's always near. He's always able to help us. He fills the very space around us. We don't have a small piece of God. We have all of God. So, God, are you there when I need you? The answer is yes. I remember very little of the things I got out of college and seminary, but there was 3 words that came out. We talked about this, and one of them was omniscient. That is, God knows everything. The second was omnipotent. Means he's all powerful. And the third thing was a word called omnipresent. That meant he is with us all the time. He's in attendance is really the best way to say it. With us all the time. Never somewhere else, never out in the distance, never blessing Brenda when I need his touch. But he can do both. He can take care of all of us. So who is God? Number one, he's someone that we cannot live without. There is absolutely no way that we can live without God and be happy. Now, there are a lot of people that are happy and believe that... I still don't have my strength back, so you mind if I take a break? There's absolutely no way that a person can be happy without God. Now, what a lot of people have done have replaced God with money, tigers, 8 cars in a 5-bedroom house. $400 million dwindled to $27 million in debt. $60 million dwindled away. And that's just amazing to me. But we can't live without him. We don't think, some people don't think they can live without all those cars and all that stuff. Whenever we see the word Lord in lowercase, and we'll see it a lot in the Bible, but especially in the Old Testament, it's the Hebrew word for Yahweh. And it's spelled YHWH in Hebrew. And that word was so reverent that it wasn't spoken in Hebrew. It was only written because of the reverence for God. The Bible says in Deuteronomy, "For the Lord is your life." He is not just part of your life. He created us for life. And Paul said in Acts 17, he said, "In him we live and move and have our being." That's what it's all about. He's who it's all about. The God who breathed life into Adam centuries and centuries ago and created Eve, sustained them with his breath, is the same God that breathes life into us. The same exact God. He hasn't changed. No different. God, where are you when I need you? And God's standing there saying, "I'm with you. When you need me, I'm there." We couldn't exist without him. It's just that simple. The Bible also says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence?" When I'm awake, I'm still with you. Some people foolishly believe that God hides so that he can build our faith. I don't need him to hide to build my faith. I need him to answer prayer to build my faith. And that's what he's waiting to do. Does he know what we need? Yes, he does. But I think he wants us to humble ourselves and seek him and ask him. Others think that he hides himself because he wants us to seek him out and find him. But everywhere in the scripture I read, it's he sought us. And as I've said before, religion is man's search for God. Christianity is God's search for man. And if man searches for God through religion, he will never find him. But if he allows God to reach into him and to speak to him, then he will. Others say that God's not hiding, but sin separates us from God. And I'm going to go out on a limb without a saw and tell you that, yes, a Christian can sin. Yes, a Christian can make a mistake. Does that separate us from God? No, it doesn't. But God wants us to ask for forgiveness. Prayer is four elements. Acknowledge God, confess your sin. Thank him for the blessings in your life. And the S is for supplication. What are our needs? What are my needs? So the question is, maybe when God seems absent from us, it's not him. Maybe it's us. And maybe we're missing something there. Some people hide behind a lot of different things. In other words, they'll put on a fig leaf and hide behind the fact that we distance ourselves because I don't feel worthy. I'm not worthy to come to God. I'm not worthy to ask Him for anything. The minute He forgives us, we are worthy. Some people feel embarrassed. Maybe it's been a while since I talked to God, so I'm embarrassed and I don't want to talk to Him. Best time in the world right then is just to fix it. Some of us feel hopeless maybe and think that, you know, He'll never be there again. He was there once and had this really special time. And I remember I had one of those in a church when I lived in Nashville. It was just a spectacular moment. And so you try to recreate that. And you don't recreate things. God creates for us, but we don't recreate them. Times like these when we're hiding from God, that we feel that He's gone. And when we feel that, the best thing to do is drop the fig leaf. Forget about the embarrassment. Forget about that thing that we've done that we feel so condemned about. Be like Adam and Eve. You finally got to come out of hiding. And let God surround us with His love and be there. Adam, I thought, was kind of an interesting pair. They were condemned by God because of what they had done, and so they, as you know, made fig leaves and hid from God. The goal of Satan is to make us hide from God. The goal of Satan is to do the same thing to us that he did to Adam and Eve, and that is to condemn. But there is a huge difference between condemnation and conviction. Condemnation comes in the form of accusation. It's what you've done wrong. It's all the things, and condemnation doesn't just necessarily, when Satan condemns us, just list one thing that we've done wrong, but he has the ability to bring up a lot of things in our past. The times that, you know, we may have walked out of the store with the extra dollar. And so we feel guilty about that. Or the time that, you know, we cut somebody off in traffic, which happens all the time. Or the time you followed me and I didn't use a turning signal. Or the time that you followed Cindy and no telling what. But what Satan will give you a list of things and condemn you for those. And what does God do? There's a term, conviction. And that's an inner awareness that, hey, Larry, something's wrong. Not this big, long list of stuff, but there's this thing that we need to take care of. Needs to be corrected. Condemnation makes us want to hide from God. Conviction makes us want to seek God to be forgiven. If God's there, why do so many things happen to me? Remember what Mary said when Lazarus was dead? If you would have been here, my brother would not have died. And what did Jesus say? I can almost see what running through his mind. Look, he could have been dead for months, and it wouldn't have made any difference to me. But that big if was there. If. Have you ever felt about, what if? If this would have happened, or if that would have happened? The word I've taken out of my vocabulary. Took it out a long time ago. Because I don't know why things happen. But I can't put God on trial to say, if you would have been here, what would have been different? Hebrews 13:5 says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. And Matthew says, surely I'm with you till the end of the world. I read this week and I thought it was kind of interesting because it talks about loneliness. It says, although loneliness is something the vast majority of people wrestle with, hardly anyone wants to openly address it. John Ortberg says, people will readily acknowledge being too busy because that makes them sound important. But to say I'm lonely is kind of like saying I'm a loser. And nobody's going to like a loser. And a lot of times we get, when we wonder where God is, we feel like we're all alone and we're all by ourselves. In a most recent book called Soul Keeping, Ortberg examines what it means to have a healthy social soul connected to God and to others amid a culture starved by busyness and the pursuit of status and wealth. The loneliness so many people experience is intensified as the forces that used to keep individuals bonded have disintegrated. We used to sit around, I remember hardly ever not eating a meal around the table with my mother and dad and my brother. Hardly ever remember not doing that. And if we occasionally went out, it was still the four of us. I hardly ever remember not asking my mother something or my dad something face to face. I didn't text them. I would have been better off, but I didn't text him. I could call him. We did have phones then. And I could have called him. But it was just easier face to face because I could read their reaction. He goes on to say, people are much more transient and mobile now, so they move more often. Family strength is much weaker than it used to be. And divorce rates are much higher than they used to be. The sense of belonging to a clan, such as children living in close proximity to their grandparents, also has lessened. As has the presence of church in many people's lives. There is, and I appreciate what Jim said today about the people it turned out for his father's celebration of life. Because that's what church fellowship is all about. That's what life is all about. We're on a journey, path of faith. Sometimes the questions of faith are tough. Sometimes the answers that we get are even tougher. But as we conclude this series on God, it's just not fair. Let me share a few closing thoughts. Holocaust survivor Viktor Frankl said, suffering without meaning leads to despair. Admitting that we do not understand everything is not admitting defeat. It's realizing we just don't know everything. We're all in different places of faith. Some struggle may not be others' struggle. Some issues may not be other people's issues. But that's because we're in different places. I can grow from where you're at. Every struggle is a snapshot, a photo in your life. At some point, pain will end and loss will cease. I love this one. Every trial can be a teacher. Gain wisdom and deeper understanding when you suffer a loss. In other words, be a student. Each mystery of faith can be a ministry. Every struggle contains an opportunity to redeem that loss by reaching out to others. And finally, every difficult thing in our lives allows us to make a choice. We either surrender to bitterness or we surrender to God. And my recommendation would be surrender to God. Because if you surrender to bitterness, that's going to be the last thing you